And so we're finally on to the Housing Diversity Development Plan amendments. Now, how to proceed? What I'm going to suggest to members is that they go to the hard copy in front of them, and in particular the appendix marked 1A, because I want to make sure, dealing with these issues informally, that we have correctly reflected the elected member assessment of community feedback, which was discussed at the elected member forum. So regardless of whether we think that some, all or none of the community are for any one of these particular changes, of course it's entirely open to anyone tonight to suggest an amendment or at least a discussion. So we'll go through them one by one, from north through central to south, and I'll just make sure I've got a copy in front of myself as well. So you would have the page marked Appendix 1A, feedback from the elected members forum, and it starts off with a blue table marked north. Unfortunately, now do we have some spare copies that could be handed out to members of the public in the audience, in the gallery, just as in the interest of transparency? Councillor Blescu?
Discussed informally is now, because we are shaping the direction. So would people have to leave if their zone is being discussed?
It would be advisable, I think, because we're in a formal decision-making arena, and even though I propose that we suspend standing orders to go through the items, caution would dictate that people do leave for the respective table that we're discussing. So I presume that people have noted whether the properties they've identified earlier are in the north, central or south precincts that we're dealing with. That is to say, north of Oaklands and Dawes Road, between Oaklands, Dawes and Seacombe Road, more or less, and then south of Seacombe. And of course you may have properties in more than one. So just consider that for a moment, and then we'll deal with the northern area. Councillor Pryor, what, you've got a clarification? Or
a clarification, yes. It's about the maps that are in the agenda. It might be useful for us to see those, even though they're not entirely correct as written in Appendix 1. It might be useful to see exactly where we're talking about in these areas.
That is a good suggestion. So this is what were they marked originally? Anyone? Thank you. It's Appendix 3 that's being referred to. In my agenda, I think it starts on page 30. Right? Yep. And that is in fact the most northernmost part of the council.
Could I seek guidance from
sure.
The manager of governance in terms of whether or not I should leave the room at this point?
Well, we're starting with the north, yes. So although I'm about to suggest a suspension of standing orders, anyone with a property basically north of Oaklands or Dawes Road should leave for this part of the discussion. Thank you for the question. I ask if anyone would like to move suspension of standing orders. Councillor Valesco, Councillor Westwood seconded. Thank you, Councillor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Very well. We've noted that Councillor Kerry and Councillor Gard have left the room. Nothing wrong with that. They're actually just acting prudently. What we're doing is going row by row down the table, and then we'll make sure that the maps in Appendix 3 reflect our discussion. So, to start off with, Sands Zone, South Plimpton, replace with Region Policy Area. Unless someone raises their hand, I'll just keep going to the next one. There are a couple where I've identified points, but otherwise we'll just keep moving through. Councillor Hull? Yep.
On the next screen, we've got change the residential zone. Isn't there a residential character zone in the Glengarry, northern aspect of Glengarry?
Right. Just it may need explanation, but I'll ask staff to explain. There's the zone and then there's the policy, and that's the what we're clarifying, I think. But Mr. Tuckley to clarify.
Thank you, through the Chair. The area that's referred to there, which is changed to residential zone, that's the suburban activity node zone in Plimpton Park, just northeast of the racecourse. The Glengarry policy area is just to the southwest, on the bottom left of the page.
Councillor Bliska.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got some concerns about the suburban activity node zone in Plimpton Park. First of all...
Order. When we get to Plimpton Park, that's the third row.
Okay.
That would be the place to raise that. Right. Thank you. So, the first box, which is the same as Appendix 1... provided with the agenda, we go with that. No other objections. The second one, suburban activity node zone Glandore, east of Winifred Avenue, return to medium density policy. So that's returning to what it was prior to the DPA because of community objection. That's the same as in Appendix 1. Now, suburban activity node zone, Plimpton Park, it possibly wasn't picked up in the discussion, but there was a one-liner after we discussed the Marion Road to Winifred Avenue sands zone going to, or recommending, or asking staff actually to prepare that a draft that made it regen. I did make the comment, no one objected, to say, well, that should apply on the western side of the racecourse, in other words, in Mullawirra Ward as well, for the same reasoning. But it's true that there was no further discussion on the point. And Councillor Blescu, you would like to modify that, I believe.
Yes. I need to know... photos, actually. I'll start with those.
Just while that's happening, can we point to where that is on the map, just for everyone's reference?
Yes. So, could staff please point to the area concerned?
Through the Chair, that is the area that's referenced on the map here, the blue area.
In Plimpton Park.
Yeah.
Please do.
Where we're looking to potentially have four stories, and if we go to the regen, three stories. As you can see, this has already got a whole lot of informal parking. If you, this is along the railway track, the tram line. If the other photos, if we scroll further through, see there's restrictions on one side. This is all commuter traffic. This is down the end of Wattle Terrace. This is also the street that we raised concerns about traffic from Morfettville. So right next door to this, as it is, we're going to have Morfettville, we're going to have high rise. As you can see, it's all the way through. If we scroll further, you'll see further through, you'll see that it actually, there are some parking spots there that have been put in by council that are all used. If you scroll further along, you'll actually see on the other side of the block, that along the, not that far please, you'll actually see that people are parking a block away as well. So there's already going to be traffic issues there. By the way, that street is actually part of a rat run that people who listen to 5AA hear that there's traffic issues in Bray Street. They go along the race course and they go up there. So there's already impact from the transit area. The trams are full. There's discussions about the only way to increase capacity on the tram is to have overpasses because they can't add number of services because it'll start to congest the traffic. So there's a whole lot of issues. There will be an access point to Morfettville. I don't think with having such a huge subdivision that we should be increasing the density in this area as much as we're planning to. I personally would like to see that part of the Marion Plains area. So where there is higher density, they can rebuild the same thing. But when people are looking to subdivide, that they actually look to have the new rules. Now, if we scroll further along to the beginning, the really small photos, this is an example of stuff in the ward in Morfettville. That's Appleby, and that's your high density. And if you can squint, you'll actually see that there's only room for one car there. This is what happens when you have subdivision. And you've got to park on the other side, and there's parking on both sides. And most of those driveways had cars. And the other one shows what happens, and that hasn't even been completed on the other side. Sorry, the other direction. This is what happens in the other part of that regen area. So it drastically changes, and because Wattle Street and South Terrace in that section of Plimpton Park will be a feeder, I think it's problematic for us to increase the density, let alone the other issues people have in regards to permeability and inadequate resources, including schooling in the local areas. So I'd like us to actually change that to either the status quo or even better, Marion Plains Area 10.
Just checking with staff, status quo is medium density. Councillor Bilescu, just one question. What do you say to the strategic question after having identified the real traffic problems, which we have virtually from Seacombe Road right up to the tram line, and it's why we're doing the Marion Plains area. What do you say to the strategic question that DIPT have given us the feedback, if you want to do Marion Plains policy area, you haven't got a hope in hell, I'm paraphrasing, unless you have an element of higher density, and we've taken the view from the beginning as a group that it makes sense to do higher density around major shopping, major roads, tram and train. What do you say to that balancing act?
It's all good in theory, but it's not working. The trams are full, the streets are full already, and we're going to add to that problem. We've identified the problems in our own report about the Morfettville Racecourse DPA. We have said that there's issues there with traffic on Southern Avenue and on Wattle Terrace. So we need to see how it works. I think if you keep it at Marion Plains Area 10, you've actually got the capacity in 15, 20 years' time when the the transit has improved, when Morfettville has been established, to reassess the situation. But until then, I think that that is actually going to be put up under a lot of pressure, and it's the wrong thing for us to increase the pressure in that area. And also, there are other areas further up where we do have a higher density. I understand that, you know, we're keeping those. Personally, I don't want them, but I understand, you know, we do have to have the mix. But that area there is going to be under pressure.
That were shown to us, it was date stamped 6/11/17, or was it, you know, most cameras actually have date stamped the American way, which is in this case the 11/11/17. It's November, so it's not a Sunday and a sports day. Okay.
Sir Byron.
Last week, what was the original? It was the sands, and we changed it to what? Regen. So if we were to keep it in keeping with those, this would become regen.
To be fair, we did part regen and part going back to medium density.
Is correct?
With Winifred Avenue as the divider.
Medium density or regen?
To be medium density.
Yes, but adjacent, the one just north of it.
Then it goes back to sands on the other side of Marion Road, doesn't it?
If I may, through the chair, directly east of this area that you're talking about is the new Plimpton Park character policy area.
But I just wanted to put it in perspective of what was around it. Thank you.
Sorry, can I ask Mr. Toakley then, on the maps that we have, like if I'm looking at map 31 or 32, where do we see that character area? I mean, 15 is along Maxwell Terrace, Glengowrie.
Through the chair, that's page 33 on your agenda. It's marked 15 on that map.
Right, so on the left-hand side of the map on page 33, the area that that Councillor Valescu is talking about is marked with Wattle Terrace, and then just to the south of that is the character area 15, correct? Or not? Please clarify.
Yeah, so the character area is the area marked 15, and on page 33 the white area that's referenced there is the proposed sands that you're looking to change to regen or medium or something else again.
Isn't that what I just said? It's what I just said. Okay, let's take a straw poll. I mean, people appreciate the issues, I think. Of those four zones, should we go, no, we'll go Marion Plains, then, hang on a sec, Marion Plains, medium density, regen and sands. So, Marion Plains, put up your hand. Medium density, put up your hand. Regen, put up your hand. Sands, put up your hand. Okay. So we've got a fairly even spread. Ideally, we'd go to second preferences. But presumably, if you didn't have Sands, well, let's say if I knock out the Sands voters, actually, who were they? Put up your hand. No one. No one had Sands, sorry. If you could the Regen voters put up their hands? Can I just ask you, would medium density be your next best option? And Marion Plains people, if you couldn't have that, would medium density be your next best option? Well, that wasn't the question. I'll take it as a yes. So what I'm suggesting is that the consensus around this is not what Councillor Valescu would prefer, but it would be medium density, which is leave as is, and that does give equity at least to the people east of Winifred Avenue. So let that be noted as a change in 1A.
Question, Mr. Mayor, very quickly.
Yes.
In terms of the practicalities of our decision-making tonight, through Mr. Kattner, is this a decision likely to be pushed back by DIPTO?
Mr. Kattner, how's your crystal ball?
I suspect that a no change may be problematic for DIPTO, but again, it's about the package. So the DPA is a package and what their thoughts are about that, and obviously they may select certain components of the DPA and leave others out. We'll have to have that conversation with them once we resolve where to go.
Just another question in a broad sense, Mr. Mayor. In terms of our consultation process, did the Planning Department ever at any stage contact our Communications Department to see whether it was a good idea to send out individual letters to our ratepayers like we do at council elections in regards to the broad, historical, city-wide DPA?
Well, I think it was left to the comms team. Mr. Kattner?
Well, there was the mail-out that was delivered. Obviously, we have come to learn that there were suburbs that were missed, but there was a mail-out to specific letterboxes. I think that answers the question.
If the council election was conducted like that, we would have...
No, well, it was never put on the table, to be fair, by anyone, by staff or elected members. We didn't specify, and staff didn't go to that level. It would have been a much more costly exercise, obviously, but it wasn't ever raised with us.
But has it been cheap and nasty, Mr. Mayor?
It's been less expensive than some other forms, Councillor Hale. Councillor Pryor had a question.
Just a quick one about this area. If the status quo is medium density and we're proposing medium density, the Minister doesn't have any option. Is that correct? I mean, because he's either going to keep
Pryor,
the status quo
I can clarify that. The Minister has a world full of options. The Minister, once we send it off to him, can approve everything, refuse everything, or come back with anything. And, Mr. Kattner, anything to add to that? I think that sums up the three options. We go on to the next row, which is Residential Character Policy Area, South Plimpton, return to Marion Plains. All right. Keep going. That was a small patch of character that had been earlier suggested. Residential Character Policy Area, North Edwardstown, replaced with Marion Plains again. So that's removing that residential character box. Councillor Byram.
Yeah, I just had a question about Marion Plains Policy Area. In the email, the online agenda, it was talking about Marion Plains having a change from 10 metre frontage to 9 metre frontage.
We were going to deal with that separately.
That's
a separate
going to
question.
Be discussed later?
Yeah, because it's outside the table. We'll come back to it.
All right, that's
fine. You'll see
I just wanted to know.
It's in the list of motions, but it's after that. It's outside the table because it was an agency submission, effectively, rather than a community submission. All right, we'll keep going. Urban corridor zone. Now, you'll see, members, that we had a discussion about key sites on last Tuesday night, and what we were objecting to was the notion that council would pick specific landowners and give them the benefit of a height incentive. But the discussion suggested that if we had some objective criteria, that is something that could be brought into the DPA proposal. So, in a sense, they are still key sites, but they're not key sites based on picking favourites. They're key sites based on objective criteria. And that actually would fulfil a departmental preference for key sites. It's just that we're not picking them. In a sense, they pick themselves based on the criteria which would make them suitable for more significant development. Now, any comment from Mr. Katnar on that, on the way that's worded? Pretty well follows the discussion on Tuesday.
Through your worship, the only comment I would make would to remove the reference to key sites. So in your agenda items, Appendix 1A, I would have it read, sites greater than 2,000 square metres with local road access minimum depth of 40 metres shall have generic incentive for increased building heights.
So the words shall be deemed key sites and they would be deleted.
Correct.
Only that if Ty are very keen to have key sites and we've created some, do we leave them in just to keep them happy? It's the same thing whether we call it a key site or not.
Well, we are leaving them in if we approve that wording. It's just that Mr. Katnar's preference is not to call them key sites, even though that's what DIPTY wants. Actually, Mr. Katnar, do you want to explain that?
Through your worship, picking up on the conversation at the elected member forum, there was some, discomfort with identifying sites and calling them key sites because it could be deemed unfair or inequitable, hence...
Mr. Katnar, I'll just jump in to kind of keep the conversation moving along. It wasn't the naming of key sites that was the problem. It was staff picking out particular ownerships and identifying them as key sites that was the problem. So it's quite a different thing. If we've got objective criteria on certain sites, it doesn't really matter to us whether they're called key sites or not. So if the department actually wants the idea of key sites, shall we leave that wording in?
When you approach it from that angle, I can see that the use of the term key sites would be not problematic, so happy to accept that.
Okay. Yep. Well, let's leave it in as printed. No further comment. The next row was to include properties at the rear of the current Forbes shopping centre. No comment. Keep moving. We're now into the central area. Sorry, Mr. Katnar, you're just coughing?
Just coughing.
Okay, don't go to an option. Can you please bring back the people with northern interests? We are still with quorum, so Councillor Crossland, what's your question?
It's just a question, just wondered if maybe you could look at just rewording that, because at the moment it says south of Seacombe Road, which sort of is the right-hand side, the other side of Brighton Road, whereas if it was Seacombe Road and maybe Schofield Road, it indicates to the public that includes Marino as well.
That's a fair point. I don't think you're going
to be misleading.
I don't think you're off to ICAC over that question. Fully what was intended was every part of the city that's geographically south of Seagram Road. So we could put in there slash Schofield Road, if I can spell it. I think it's got two E's. Right, but we're on to the central part now. So those people that wanted to leave the room for the central district, are they gone? Right. So we're on the green table, still on the first page of tables there. Residential character policy area Marion, as per DPA. Any comment? Keep going. Neighbourhood centre zone. Any comment? Oh, it's still the first page, green table, top of the green table. Oh, in terms of a map, staff might be able to help us. Have we finished the north? Yes, we have. Page 34, I'm advised. It's in there somewhere. I think when we get to the... we'll get down a little bit later, we'll come to the that precinct. Right, so we talked about Neighbourhood Centre Zone Parkholme. There was no further comment. Keep going. Neighbourhood Centre Zone Marion Mitchell Park. Replace with Urban Corridor Zone. Now, Mr. Katner, can you... I actually can't relate this to the maps very well, but... I see, that's Marion Road on the left-hand side of the map. Yeah. Now, note... Yeah, sorry, can we just have an indication on the map where is the hotel? I think it's just above that NCE lettering, is that right?
That's correct.
Right, so it's the corner, large corner block. So it's included in the neighbourhood centre zone, and we're currently proposing to, or discussing, replacing that with the urban corridor zone so that it runs straight through from the more northerly part of Marion Road. No. Now, something I should explain. This is where we go off on a potential diversion, because it relates to the consultation issue. We're kind of juggling two parallel discussions. In relation to consultation, we've had legal advice. I suppose I have to be careful about legal advice, going into too much detail, but it's basically said don't consult further. So what you have before you as Appendix 1A has excluded those few properties where we discussed last Tuesday night the possibility of altering the zoning where it wasn't specified in the draft DPA. Just a handful of properties, and Councillor Hull has astutely pointed some out, that handful of residential properties, 835 to 841 Marion Road, so they've been deliberately left out of this 1A, because the argument for proceeding without consultation is much, much stronger if those items are left out. If we most certainly want to put them in, I've got some additional wording we can put them in and we can go through the consultation process again. No. The point is that it wasn't part of the original draft DPA document. Elected members in discussion said, maybe, why have we left out those few residential properties from our original draft document, and maybe we should do something about that. The conclusion I've come to is a strong suggestion that we should just leave it as it is, because we get into a legal quagmire by now going back and including changes of zoning to sites which were not proposed to be changed in our initial document.
Are they directly north of the Marion Hotel?
They are immediately north of the Marion Hotel.
So they're going to have...
There's a petrol station, and then north of the petrol station. Because that's the entrance to Quick Road, you can see on the map.
So really the situation is any change wouldn't be lawful?
It's not a matter of unlawful, but it would require at least an 8-week consultation period and possibly redoing the whole DPA.
Can that be done next year, the year after that or so?
Next time we come back to it, the people there may be crying out for it. But we don't know, because...
It could be done as a PIR down the track.
It could be. And certainly there's there is a mooted change to the Alawuna Avenue precinct, which kind of touches on the edge of that. But that's being run ministerially, not by council. So who knows what will happen with that. So unless people strongly want to have those in... it's the safe course to have them out. Who would like to comment on that? Mr. Katnar or Ms. McKenzie?
I think that's a good summary.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Councillor Hull?
Above the Parkholme Shopping Centre, there's an area of open space alongside the bowling.
Oh, yes, so it's marked NCE. At the very top of the map? Is that the one?
Below that.
What we know is the dentist shop.
Yeah, so it's own open space, but we've actually got a commercial activity happening on there.
No, that open space would be the bowling green. You see, those blue letters... the black letters NCE on the blue background... are the Coles Shopping Centre.
Yeah.
Immediately across the road, there is a small triangle by itself, which is the dentist office. Immediately north of that, the space marked OS is the Ascot Park Bowling Club. Okay.
All right, so the dentist is picked up there in that northern point of the NCE. Yeah, okay.
Is currently and continues to be neighbourhood centre.
Okay.
All right. So we're back with neighbourhood centre zone Mitchell Park replaced with Marion and Mitchell Park replaced with urban corridor zone.
Those residential ones off here, that's
no further comment. Yes, Mr. Tuckley.
Thank you, through your worship. If you were to look at rezoning the neighbourhood centre to urban corridor zone, we suggest that you may wish to consider, I'll take a step back, the urban corridor zone allows you to develop sites with exclusive residential dwellings only. You may not wish to impose the urban corridor zone over the Marion and Mitchell Park neighbourhood centre zone, because you then might dilute the retail offerings in that area. Or alternatively, with your resolution, you could ask for additional policy that identifies in the urban corridor zone at the Marion Mitchell Park area. We can work up some wording. You would then preclude residential dwellings unless they were shop-top living, so to speak.
Open to discussion.
That shop-top living, which is a concept all around the place, but in that area that we're changing below the Parkholme Shopping Centre, is that going to be an option for those people to actually allow redevelopment and actually live there as well and have commercial underneath? It is. Or it could be entirely retail if they want to. Well, that's exactly what's happening across the road at Coles.
It would be considered on its merits, so there's nothing that would say that exclusively commercial would be non-complying. You would need to consider that on its merits, so you might have a situation where it's purely commercial and that's an appropriate fit for that locale.
Okay. A question from Councillor Westwood.
So, I'm sorry if I've missed it, but why do you want to change, like the neighbourhood centre there at the bottom of that map on page 34 with urban corridor? What advantage is that? Neighbourhood centre, I thought, would sort of encompass shops and the kinds of things that are there.
I think the discussion on last Tuesday was about continuity of the urban corridor zone.
Uh-huh.
But can I just check with staff, are you saying commercial or retail developments not allowed in the urban corridor zone?
No, through your worship, certainly commercial retail development is anticipated in the urban corridor zone, but the urban corridor zone also allows you to develop your property purely for residential dwellings only. Whereas in the neighbourhood centre zone, if you were to do dwellings, it needs to be shop-top living. So our advice is, well, that's a specific retail offering that serves the local community. You wouldn't want to dilute necessarily the retail offerings there by rezoning an urban corridor zone without specific caveats. The alternative is, if I may, if you're not wanting to include 835 to 841 Marion Road, then you're not extending the urban corridor zone, and we would suggest then leaving the neighbourhood centre as is.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yes, okay. Yes. Others? So I'm relaxed about it. Okay, well, let's... If we do that, it would be a no change, wouldn't it? So the notation should be as per DPA instead of replace with urban corridor zone. As... That's right, without the black texter mark. So you're right, the current continues, it's the existing, it was in the DPA, and we're saying that will continue. That's what we're heading towards. Yes, so all of that texture on that map would go. So except for the cutting out a couple of houses which kind of face into the bend on Oaklands Road next to the neighbourhood centre zoning. But those two bottom notations would go. All right. Now, we're kind of moving to a different area and a different map. Members, it's pretty important, especially with members of public in the gallery interested in the outcome tonight, probably to press on, but we would need an extension of time because this meeting's due to finish at 8:30. And I'm sorry to say that for staff who are patiently waiting to come on with their business at 8:30. But Councillor Valesky is moving an extension of time until we finish this item?
Yes.
And seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Look, for the benefit of staff who are patiently waiting, we'll probably be at least another half hour if you want to take a break. Now we go to the next row, Suburban Activity Node Zone, Other Area, Warradale, Railway Terrace and Addison Road, replaced with Regeneration Policy Area. This was in response to the unhappiness of local residents in Warradale at the high-rise concept. Any further comment? Then we'll keep going. Page on the map. You'll look at the left-hand side of the map where it says becomes regen along the railway line, which is a... Councillor Cryer?
Just a quick one. Suburban activity node zone other was up to three storeys, is that right?
It's a maximum four.
Three. Other three. Zoning?
Up to four.
Up to four.
Maximum four.
Okay. And so the regen's up to three.
Regen's up to three, suburban core's up to six. But we're basically, yeah, certainly in that particular line, deleting the six-storey possibility. Okay, we'll keep moving. The next one, Warridale-Morfitt Road and West. So the sands zone replacing with other area criteria, which is essentially the reduction along Morfitt Road next to Westfield and Bunnings from 6 to 4, maximum. No further comment. Keep going. It's over the page on my version. Suburban activity node zone transition area that goes entirely and replaced with Marion Plains area. There was a hotbed of dissent there, and we've listened to those people. West of Morfitt Road. No comment. Suburban activity node zone, core area Seacombe Gardens, Sturt Road. As with what we just said about Morfitt Road, that sands zone being replaced with other area, maximum of six becomes maximum of four storey. Further comment. Suburban activity node zone transition area. This was or is currently regen. Looking at staff, they're nodding. The notion is to replace the transition area to what it currently is, which is regen, not have that transition area. Suburban activity node zone, core area and transition area. This specifically relates to the Salvation Army site, the old Pioneer Hall, and we're saying that the entire land ownership should be in the same zoning, essentially. Seems silly to have two zones for one owner, so we're fixing that. Suburban activity node zone core area, Oaklands Park, so this is now on the Diagonal Road side of the major shopping centre, replaced with other area, reducing from six-storey to maximum four-storey by popular demand. Suburban activity, just jump in if you have a comment. Suburban activity node zone transition area, Oaklands Park, this is south of the train line, replaced the entirety of transition with Marion Plains. So that's the inner part, if you like, of the Oaklands Park suburb. Suburban activity node zone, core area, transition area, Oaklands Park, Anglican Church. This is another one which is dealing with one particular landowner and making sure that the same zone applies to the whole site owned by that party. Include 12A Dwyer Road with a revised other area. So it's just fixing that one site to make it consistent. Suburban activity node zone, transition area, Oaklands Park, north of the train line, return to medium density policy, regen policy area as per current zoning. You'll notice in Appendix 1, staff had suggested as applicable, but I thought it was a bit clearer to say as per current zoning, and staff seem happy with that. So, in other words, a no change outcome for that area. Suburban activity node zone, other area, Sturt, Marion Road and West. We probably need another map at this point. Can staff help us with the appropriate map? 38, I hear. Thank you, Councillor Pryor. That's it. Yeah, we'll move a little bit the other way, a little bit more. That's it. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So you can see the sands area along Marion Road in the suburb of Sturt. It's on the left-hand side of the page. Remove the entirety of the zone. We had significant resident feedback about that. Change to Marion Plains policy area. But along that stretch, you see a little box. There's a notation about three particular lots. Change to local centre zone. This is where the old fish and chip shop is. Very modest little group of shops. After a submission that we heard in the open submissions night, create a new local centre zone. Now, the local centre zone allows two-storey, but if somebody wanted to build three-storey, they could apply and argue their case, like a lot of things. So, if there's no comments, then we've dealt with the centre area. Councillor Hull? Now, those notations are in the same category as the individual Mitchell Park sites that we talked about on Marion Road. If we include them, essentially following the legal advice that came in today, it's a bit risky. So if we want to proceed... Now, I just have a caveat with that. I think we come back to the consultation point at the end, because there are basically two approaches. Let's get this over and done with and submit it to the Minister. The other option is to go through, open it up again for a lengthy consultation process and put it in sometime next year, if ever. If the group wanted to do that, then we might come back to that question, because there would be time to properly consult, etc. But we'll come back to that point. Councillor Westwood.
As you're on more broader issues on this whole matter, I'm actually not satisfied, because we've got this thing which is probably quite helpful and maybe it's absolutely the way it should go, but I'm not satisfied that we should make a decision tonight based on that at this stage.
Well, what we're doing, Councillor, if we make a decision about what we want it to look like, which is basically why we're working off this framework, then we can come back and say, right, let's do the question about timing and consultation. So that's a debate I'd like to have with all councillors in the room. So let's go through this framework now. I take on board your point of view, but we'll deal with that when we're all back in the room together. Is that all right?
Well, I just mentioned, if I may, that I foreshadow that I may have to vote against the motion in total based on this kind of thing, because it's kind of so
sure.
late.
But no problems.
That's all.
No problems. So we finished with the centre area. Please invite the centre group councillors back in.
Through the Mayor. Sorry, Jamie, can I ask you to bring that map back up, please?
Oh, you had a question.
Could you...
Councillor Valesco, I'll get to you. Just let Mr. Tuckley finish this point.
Thank you. If you could just scroll down a bit, please, Jamie. Thank you. Your Worship, we didn't discuss, and it's not part of the resolution, the suburban activity node zone, which stretches west of Marion Road to the Diagonal Road intersection on both sides of Marion Road.
We didn't discuss that last Tuesday, did we?
No.
So it's currently Sands Core, is it?
It would be Sands Other.
Sands Other. Sturt Road, top left of the map.
Both sides of the road,
Both sides. So it's down to Club Marion on the northern side, and does it go down to the council chambers on the on the southern side of Sturt Road? I'm relaxed about it. I don't think we had much feedback in relation to that area. And I must say, my views, I think like most councils, have been strongly guided by the level of community response we received. Councillor Valeski.
I've got a question in regards to Raja Reserve. Where does this fit in? I can't seem to find it on the map. And what are we voting on that?
Mr. Tokley.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Council, prior to the public consultation of the DPA, resolved to leave the medium density and regeneration policy areas north of the train line in Oaklands Park as is, so there's no change to the zoning for those areas.
Okay. Safe. Okay. Because I've got a query. Obviously, I don't, my mum rents there. Is that a perceived conflict of interest in any way, or...?
We're not actually dealing with it tonight, so I don't think it can be a problem. But thanks for that. Look, when I look at the public consultations, there was very little on Sturt Road. There was more concern about Marion Road, Sturt residents, but very little about this, so I'm relaxed about it accordingly. But let it go.
Yeah, I think sans others probably reasonable in the context of what we're doing.
So it's just that on that green table, we need an extra, we really should have an extra row, shouldn't we? Suburban activity node zone, I'm just marking my copy at the same time, other, and it's as per DPA. Okay, we've finished the central area. Could those councillors be asked back in, please? So could we prepare for, once appropriate notations are made. Just keep looking at the screen. Fife has arrived and he's got his hand up straight away.
What do you want
to throw into the works, Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. I note, and apologies for being late, I note that in the legal advice that was received, I did have a material conflict of interest in regard to the area surrounding my residential property in Edwardstown. I'm just confirming that it's okay for me to be in the room for this particular part of the session.
Yes, just to recap, what we're doing is going through an item that should be on your desk. It's a table, Appendix 1A. It's intended to reflect the discussion that was had last Tuesday to see if we actually want to confirm or agree with that. Any member, of course, is... welcome to put their own proposition forward, as indeed some have. We've split it up into north, central and south. You've missed the north part. Well done there. We're now about to commence on the south discussion. And all of this is being done in order to formulate a motion. There is a draft motion on your desk in relation to this table 1A. But we haven't got anywhere near that yet. And we haven't discussed the consultation issue either. As in the timing issue. So what we're doing at the moment is just making sure we've got the right framework of more or less what we want to put up or have drawn up, and then we'll decide what to do with it. So we're going row by row, and we're starting, I think, on your second page with the yellow table. the a change that's been suggested is just in the heading, where it says south of Seacombe Road, to add Schofield Road in the brackets. Staff have taken that on board. So now we move down row by row. Now, the first one, Southern Hills Policy Area, Hallett Cove and Seacliff Park, as per DPA. Right, no comment. Basically, Councillor Pfeiffer, people are just jumping in if they have a comment or objection or whatever. Well, we'll get there. You mean rezoning Holdfast Bay Council into Marion Council? Yeah, not a bad idea. Southern Hills Policy Area, Shido Park, Trot Park, O'Halloran Hill. Now, there was a debate of sorts between staff and elected members in relation to this area. There have been a few comments. There are unhappy comments about change. So the proposition I've got here is no change to Shido Park, Trot Park, O'Halloran Hill, which means that they would revert to the southern policy area. That's the current zoning, isn't it? Southern. Councillor Byron, comment?
It was also that area didn't receive notification, most of it, and so that we didn't have to go back out for consultation if we retain it as the southern policy area.
Okay. If there's no further comment, I'll keep moving. To address it on another map, because that's the very top of Darlington. When we come to look at the Seaview Downs Seacombe Heights map, I'm hoping that it'll be clearer. Oh, yes. Well, perhaps if I just explain the concept. Basically, when one looked at the community response across that whole stretch from Seaview Downs, Seacombe Heights, Darlington, in other words, from Seacliff Park to South Road, there were actually a number of people who were happy with the idea of greater density and subdivision opportunity closer to Seacombe Road. But if you were going to divide it into two camps, generally speaking, there was much more objection in the top half, or I should say the southern half, it's topographically higher, in Seaview Downs and Seacombe Heights. Darlington is easy to make a rule about, in a sense, because you've got the old housing, some of it, well, you've got a mixture of old and new, but mostly old housing along Moston Road and either side of it in Darlington, but you've got the relatively new and capacious homes in the southernmost, highest part of Darlington, on the northern side of the hill. So that little group of about 60 homes, it suggested no change, as well as the top part of Seaview Downs and Seacombe Heights. But the proposed as Southern Hills was actually the concept in this table is that along the boundary of Seacombe Road, the bottom half, if you like, but it's actually the northern half, Seaview Downs and Seacombe Heights, Darlington, the greater density zoning would apply. So what you see on this map, it's very hard to imagine out of context, but it's the very southernmost part of Darlington, so the edge of the balconies development of about 60 new homes. If you look at the very right-hand side of this map, it's going to be just off that map to the right. So it's just next to the expressway, I suppose. So that's perfect, because that other map where you had Majors Road going into the park, and coming over the hill to the first couple of houses, it actually matches up with the houses almost in the middle of this map. Right? Does that help you, Councillor Hull? Yes, those houses are part of Hills Face Zone, which are protected in a different zone, and we haven't sought to change the Hills Face Zone. Some members of the public kind of misleadingly think if I'm the side of the hill, I'm in the Hills Face Zone. Of course, that's not true. It's a very specific, long-established zone with extra protections. Another day. Well, probably about 1970. So let's keep going through the table then. We're actually coming to Merino now. So if we could have Merino, can someone help us find a Merino map? Now the concept here, to take account of the very mixed and one might say passionate feedback from Merino, we found that there was more community positions against subdivision the higher up you got topographically. In other words, that tended to be to the east of the railway line and south of Jervois Terrace. There were more people who were actually happy with greater opportunity for subdivision west of the railway line and north of Jervois Terrace. So that's the proposal for Merino, that there be no change in that southeastern block of Merino, which is marked 16 on the map before you. Now that would, it says, I'm not sure about the naming, but the point is it goes back to what was Hill's policy, doesn't it? So that was Hill's. And the same applies to northern Seaview Downs and Seacombe Heights. That was Hills, that was Southern Hills, right. Yeah, I think you're getting beyond planning issues there. So when we go back to the table, Merino west of train line says as per DPA. So any comment? Then we'll keep going. Southern Hills policy area east of train line and south of Jervois. This is the topographically higher area I was referring to. And it says return to Hills policy area. Now, I'm not, the renaming issue comes in here because it's starting to get very confusing. We've got Hills, we've got Southern, and we've got Southern Hills all in the mix at the moment, and it's not a good idea. It's obviously confusing. We need a new name to cover the perhaps I could ask staff to explain that, because it is confusing.
Thank you, Your Worship. It is confusing, and myself and Mr. Melchiorish did scratch our noodle for some time to come up with an alternative, and we haven't yet.
We're moving towards it at Marion Council, but just hold that thought. One idea that I was playing with, and you see it noted in the table, I don't think it's quite right where it is, but I was considering suggesting something called an escarpment policy area, because the areas which are the hilliest part of Seaview Downs, Seacombe Heights, Darlington and Merino all have something in common. They're not being changed. The only problem is that they weren't part of the same zone beforehand. So is it possible to make that part of the same zone but with two different policy areas to account for the different current prescriptions, or should they sensibly really be different zones? There's so much different about them.
Through Your Worship, they will be still within the same zone, which is the residential zone, but then the question is, I think you're asking is, do you then have two different policy areas? You certainly could, and that's, from a planning sense, a positive thing in terms of you can recognise the different localities within particular areas, topographically and locations to other facilities. So it's your choice, but we would recommend two different policy areas for those areas.
So just to, basically south of Seagram Road, let's leave aside Cement Hill, but for the broader areas, we've got three areas, right, that are, at least as far as this table's concerned. We've got the old southern hills surviving either side of the hill, because we've got Shota Park, Trot Park, O'Halloran Hill, that's southern hills. Now that doesn't, that's a name that doesn't really fit anymore. But we've got the hillier part of CV Downs, Seagram Heights, Darlington, which was also southern hills, and we've got the hillier part of Merino, which is also unchanged but was hills. And then we've got all of the new parts, but they no longer have a clear kind of geographic moniker. I mean, if anything, they should be south or southern lowlands. I mean, I'm getting a bit ridiculous. But the question is whether that hills, whether that hills policy, I mean, how different is the policy of the current southern hills and the current hills? Perhaps that would help.
Certainly, through your worship. The areas that you're looking to not change, if that makes sense, then I suggest you keep that as hills policy area, if that makes sense. You then may wish to look at the northern parts of Darlington, Seagram Heights, CV Downs, Seacliff Park, and Merino as a policy area and give that a name. And then you would keep Hallett Cove, Trot Park, O'Halloran Hill as a different policy area. So you're looking at...
If we're keeping the hillier parts of Merino and CV Downs, Seagram Heights as they currently are, the question is, how different are those two policies?
They're currently in the same policy area at present.
Oh, okay. So, I beg your pardon. I've missed that. Well, then, why don't we call that escarpment? That's what I was trying to get at in the table, because that's what they have in common. They're all on the escarpment of O'Halloran Hill. Well, I don't know. Open to members. What do you think, Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Your Worship. When we were discussing this area, it was very much the gradient that was affecting the decision on where the line went. So if we can have a name for the more gradient steep areas of Merino, Seacombe Gardens, Seacombe Heights, because a lot of people have a question as to why was the road here decided as the boundary? Whereas if we can have it very clear that it was the higher gradient...
That's basically what escarpment means.
And that's right. So I think that would help with people understanding why the road went, or the division went where it does, is because of that very much steeper gradient on the southern side.
Okay. If we go with escarpment to cover the... southwestern part of Merino and the southern parts of CV Downs and Seacombe Heights, as we said, then we've got a distinct area now in Shota Park, Trot Park, O'Halloran Hill. So we've got that area, which is distinct, and then we've got an arc which goes right around from Darlington next to South Road right through Seacliff Park to northern and western Merino and Hallett Cove, which is another area. So arc in very general terms, but what I'm saying is it's a disparate area. And
the spur zone might be lost on locals. I don't know. Any ideas from staff?
Thank you, Your Worship. When the residential zoning of Marion Council was changed in 2003, what is now the Hills Policy Area was originally called the Foothills and Coastal Zone. So if you wished, you could have the northern parts of Darlington, Seacombe Heights, Seaview Downs, Seacliff Park, coastal parts of Merino and Hart Cove, Foothills
if
and Coastal.
If only we hadn't changed it in 2003, man, we wouldn't be here tonight. That is a brilliant name, Foothills and Coastal. I love it. And that way you could call Show Park, Trot Park, maybe instead of Southern Hills, just Southern. It's the most southern. Well, yeah. The only thing is it's not so hilly anymore. But look, I think, I don't know, advice from staff?
Thank you, Your Worship. Was it the case that you were keeping Shadow Park, O'Halloran Hill, Trot Park as the current development plan, which is the southern policy area, so that could remain?
Sorry, is it Southern or Southern Hills?
It's Southern Policy Area. As of today, it's Southern Policy Area.
Then that's what we want. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, getting back to the table, Southern Hills Policy Area, and this is the unchanged bit, where it says return to Hills Policy Area, but the Hills Policy Area is to be renamed Escarpment Policy Area. That sort of follows this discussion. Right? No. East of the train line, south of Jervois, is the unchanged part. So that is the escarpment policy area that we're talking about. Is it? Okay. Have I got my directions wrong? East of the train line, south of Jervois. That's the unchanged part, isn't it? Well, that's the escarpment area. Okay. We can move on. Dealt with as separate zones, Cement Hill, and the whole redevelopment at the Lorenzen site, separate. Six stories, I think. Yes, I'm getting a nod from staff, yes. Okay, next row is Southern Hills Policy Area, Merino. East of the train line, but north of Jervois, is as per DPA, as we just discussed. Now, probably what we should do is put in brackets, what was it, coastal and foothills? Foothills and coastal, which we should do for the first row in the yellow boxes, Hallett Cove and Seacliff Park, Foothills and Coastal, and we would do that for the third box where it says Merino west of train line, and over the page where it says east of train line, north of Jervois, as per DPA, that would be Foothills and Coastal. Okay, now we jump to Seaview Downs. So if we could maybe just move the map down a bit, up a bit, other way. Thank you, perfect. Yeah, it's about right. Actually, if we could move it, well, it probably is a separate. We should go to the next map, shouldn't we, really, to cover kind of two maps at once. Yeah, that's good. Perfect. Thank you. Now, Seaview Downs, on the same principle, we've got south of Irwin Street and Gawler Street. So more or less halfway down Seaview Downs. It's actually on the very left-hand side of the map. So the southern part, return to Hills, was it Hills Policy? It's currently Hills Policy. So we just put in brackets after it, escarpment policy area. Staff with me on that? Yeah. No comments? Southern Hills Policy Area, Seaview Downs, north of Irwin and Gawler, that's the lower part, as per DPA, we've just discussed, and that we put in brackets foothill and coastal, foothills and coastal. Comments?
Southern Hills Policy Area, Seacombe Heights. Same argument. We've drawn a line along Truscott. And if we have the topographical map, you would see that the land starts rising steeply, at least on Brayside Avenue, once you get to Truscott Avenue. So that's returned to Hills Policy Area, but we're going to call that escarpment, put in brackets after that. And the converse, Southern Hills Policy Area, Seacombe Heights, north of Truscott Avenue, 33 Brayside, abutting boundary of Alpine Road, along the centre of Alpine Road, including Camelot Crescent, as per DPA, and we put in brackets Foothill and Coastal. Councillor Byram?
Just to clarify that, if that's the area north of those roads, they're not linked with Coastal. How can that be Foothills and Coastal? Well, I think we're getting confused on the names there. Can I just have clarification of that, please?
Sure. We were just talking about the part of Seacombe Heights, which is north of Truscott Avenue.
Yes.
So it's that top part of the map. So we're calling that Foothills as opposed to Hills.
I thought we were the other way around, but anyway. Yeah, so you're saying that that area north of those roads is the same as Hallett Cove?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, coastal Hallett Cove, so west of the train line, is my understanding.
And that's Merino.
No,
I'm talking about all of Hallett Cove. Yes. Is the same as that area there. Is that correct?
Staff?
The same policies would apply, yes, in terms of minimum frontage, width and site area.
So we're looking at a new name for all of that area that is going to be Foothills, which is north of Truscott, just choosing one of the names of the streets, running around to the west of the train line at Merino, and then all of Hallett Cove.
Yes.
Or is there a section of Hallett Cove that's excluded?
All
of Hallett Cove is in the new DPA.
Yep.
So we've got an area going around, and then we've got the escarpment, and then we've got southern. Just
yes.
wanting to make sure I've got it all clear.
That's correct.
The others last night.
And that's why I called it an arc. And they are disparate areas
yep.
in a way,
yep.
but Foothills and Coastal at least gives a bit of an idea that you've yep. kind of got two separate areas
just
geographically.
Just making sure it's clear.
Sure. That's good. And also just a note that I think there's actually a little laneway or path, really a pathway, cutting through the eastern side of Brayside, which forms the boundary. Is that right, Mr. Tokyo?
Through your worship, we have taken some artistic licence and brought the boundary a little bit north of that laneway. The reason being, if you did follow that laneway, you would have one dwelling right at the northern end of Alpine Road in the Foothills and Coastal policy area, but the remainder of that street in the Hills policy area. So we thought if you brought the boundary forward, the whole street remains in the same zones policy areas.
Well, I mean, that sounds reasonable. No objections? Then we can move on. Southern Hills Policy Area, Darlington. So again, we've got two comments the same here. At least here it's a very clear delineation for the reason I suggested earlier. So south of the centre of Peregrine Court, and there's this house on at the very end of Moston Road, which we're leaving with the Foothills and Coastal. But the balconies development, essentially, is return to Hills policy, but we put in brackets escarpment. And then the last box of the table, Southern Hills policy area, Darlington, basically from the end of Moston Road to Seacombe Road, mostly older housing, although there's a little bit of new in there, as per DPA, so we're calling that Foothills and Coastal. If there are no comments, then we finish the table. So we can invite all councillors back in.
Now, I realise there's one more problem which affects Marion Plains. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Sorry to distract from matters momentarily. I was hoping on entry into the meeting to actually acknowledge within the minutes that I did have the conflict of interest in relation
that
to...
That was the, noted, thank
that
you.
Was in the, so it's noted within the minutes? If
McKenzie?
I could seek leave then.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I had thought it was noted, but I don't think we need... Do we need leave of the meeting to note it? No. Or take it as a personal explanation, no, if you know?
I just didn't, I've got notes here as well. I'm kind of going between that.
Oh, so it's in the scrap of paper minutes at the moment.
Right, I just wanted to make sure that, having arrived late,
yes, yes.
I was just wanting to make sure that it is noted within the minutes that I do actually have that conflict.
We're sure. Assured it'll be there.
Sure, thank you.
Now, we have got one more issue in the suggested recommendations in relation to Marion Plains, but before I go to that, I want to, with everyone in the room, just focus on this consultation issue. Ms. McKenzie, can you explain, as far as you wish to, the legal advice received today about further consultation, or Mr. Katner might do that?
Through His Worship, the legal advice that we obtained today advised against going up for a second round of consultation. The process of the DPA is for Council to undertake its consultation, seek to consider the SCARPA document, which is a summary of consultation amendments, amend the DPA as appropriate, and then submit to the Minister with no further consultation. So the legal advice was strongly suggesting that we do not do that again.
We still have standing orders suspended. Does anyone have any comment on that? Councillor Blescu.
So what I understand from that is that for us, there is a certain process we've agreed to, and for us to have extra consultation and deviate from the process, is that where the problem lies?
Mr. Katner.
Through His Worship, the legal advice is that the process doesn't allow for a second round of consultation, and so to go through the process as prescripted in the Development Act Section 25, to consult, consider the SCARPA, amend the DPA, submit to the Minister.
So, Councillor, I'm sure you'll appreciate we don't want to go into all of the avenues that people might have to sue the Council. Wouldn't be a good time to do it. But the advice has been put in a positive sense, and that means out of fairness to the people where we had further discussions about individual sites in Marion and Mitchell Park around the neighbourhood centre, that it's better to leave them out of the discussion. We didn't include them at the beginning. We can't kind of have a second go. Otherwise, we're creating a whole new DPA, and that's a whole new headache. So the discussion so far has left them out, and what that means is that everything we've just discussed is either what was in the DPA, a reversion to what the current situation is in the zone, or it's some kind of amelioration of what was proposed in response to community consultation. So on that basis, if we stick with what's there, I must say personally I'm very comfortable with not going out for further consultation, because we've actually had something, we've listened, we've adapted, that's it. But I realise not everyone feels that way. So I think that's... We'll take a straw poll in a minute, because I just want to test that with the group. But I've got Councillor Hull and Councillor Kerry to contribute.
Mr Mayor, a question, if I may, directed to the CEO. In terms of continuous improvement, from the exercise we just went through with our community and the DPA, in terms of meaningful consultation, where everybody would have received a information guide about what was proposed, could we have done it better? In terms of continuous improvement, it's something that a board member should be able to reasonably ask about process improvement.
Through the chair, some residents didn't get the correspondence that we sent out because I think it was actually subsumed into all the other stuff that they were getting through the providers. So definitely we could learn from that. It would add considerable expense, but we can do it better by mailing direct.
Councillor Kerry.
Could we have a copy of that legal advice that Jason mentioned?
It's been emailed out to all elected members. It's there for you. Councillor Telfer. I'm then Councillor Telfer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wanted to follow on from Councillor Hull's comments on continuous improvement because there were problems with it, and going with the leaflet going out with other promotional material like supermarket sales and so forth means that those don't get delivered to anybody who has a no junk mail sign on their letterbox. So therefore those people automatically missed out on it. But when we have areas that didn't receive it at all, that leaves a question in our minds. The other thing that leaves a big question is that we had a great opportunity to get letters out with the rates notice that went out during that consultation time. And that would have been another way that wasn't an extra cost of just getting something out. I remember opening mine thinking, I haven't seen anything yet. It's going to be in there, and it wasn't. And so we need to be aware of what's happening around council at the same time that we can utilise to get these sort of notices out. So in the vein of continuous improvement, I wanted to raise those things that we need to consider this for the future in how we can better improve, because there were gaps there and we really need to consider that.
Okay, I think that's just one to take on board. Councillor Croston.
Can I just confirm if that's correct? All the people who have no junk mail didn't get the notification?
I don't think anyone said that, but what's the story?
Through you, Chair, I believe it's not correct that it would have been delivered to every household.
It was delivered to every household, and there was a mail out to owners of properties who live outside the council area.
Correct.
As well. But I think, well, allowing for some distribution errors, which wouldn't be completely surprising. The other issue is where they were included in junk mail because they weren't specifically addressed. And I'm sure a number of people would have missed as they pick up the junk mail and go straight in the bin. Councillor Telfer.
My point was about the continuing on with consultation. There is a problem with that because if we had another round and we had a totally different group come back in, then we would have had lots of conflicting advice, and then if we went with the second lot, we would have to undo what the first group said. So I can see some sense in the legal advice to and the law as it is.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll keep... Now, I don't want to debate more questions of clarification. You wanted to press your point again, Councillor? Councillor Westwood?
Yes, I think we're not quite into formal proceedings yet. I have to say that I believe that we have responded quite well to the public consultation. I believe there's been a very good effort put into being sensitive to what's been suggested. So I'm generally fairly happy with the process. Thank you.
All right. Can I just have a show of hands if you believe we should go out for consultation again, either in whole or in part? I'm not hearing it, so we'll sort of tick off that issue. Now, as part of the recommendation before you, and this is the 1A version, so to speak, we've got, as soon as the final draft of the DPA is prepared, to the satisfaction of the CEO and the Mayor, it should be submitted to the Minister of Planning for approval. Now, I just want to check with staff whether that's... well, and members, as to that proposition. I know Councillor Fife is not happy with it, but can I have the view from staff? I was reading the wrong emoji.
Through his worship, the wording of that resolution is sound. Staff don't have any issue with that.
Okay. I mean, we do understand that there's still a little mountain of work to do to actually put that into the formal planning document. And, of course, for the maps to be redrawn in accordance with any resolution tonight. And there also needs to be a summary, what do you call it, a SCARPA, the summary of community submissions, etc., needs to be drawn up with how we have addressed every single submission. So there's still a body of work to be done. But the point is, if we've decided all the parameters, you may feel comfortable just having it signed off after a check by the Chief and the Mayor, but it is up to you. Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, we've covered all the residents and business owners' comments tonight, but there's one aspect of the consultation that we haven't touched on tonight, and that is the consultation with government agencies. SA Water, DipTai, Gas Company and all those other utilities. Now, I believe they've raised concerns about the capacity of their agencies to meet demand if our DPA proceeded. In other words, the population increase and the usage of all those amenities would place
Councillor Hull,
challenges on their
Councillor Hull, if you're not suggesting a specific change, can I ask you to leave that for the formal debate?
I'm leading to a question.
Okay. Oh, right.
The question is, should we actually have in our submission to the Minister that this is all subject to government agencies in provisions of utilities being able to meet anticipated population growth?
It's a bit like
suggesting that they actually do a infrastructure.
Look, Councillor Hull, I don't think that's the way it works. I think we make a decision on the planning stuff, and if there are 100,000 more people in Marion, then it's up to the appropriate agencies to supply more electricity, more water. We do more drainage, etc., etc. But I will ask staff to comment to that question.
Through his worship, when the SCARPA is prepared, it'll also need to consider and respond to the issues raised in those agency responses. I think the important thing to note is SA Water comments, for example, it's not specific to a zone or a locality. It's talking generally across council and the ability to deliver to the future capacity. So we'll need to note that in the SCARPA, and then the agency will obviously work with DIPTI to either amend the DPA or incorporate change into their infrastructure planning.
Well, without a motion, can we just leave that as a comment that we would expect staff to take a sympathetic view to SA Water's point of view?
Mr Mayor, I think in planning terms, and I really don't want to paraphrase the Greens leader in South Australia, Parnell, but he does make a good point that quite often we actually anticipate development and then worry about infrastructure and transport later.
That's actually how the law works, yes.
Yeah. I would like to have some comment from this council drawing the minister's attention to the very issues raised by any of those
utilities.
So
can I just ask staff, as I just did, to take that on board when dealing with the submissions? On the other hand, if you wish to formulate an amendment, we can do that.
It just makes me feel better, and perhaps others, that we're actually making considered thinking here about strategic planning on behalf of our community. That's all I'm suggesting, Mr Mayor. It might be too much to ask, but I'd like to make that gesture on behalf of the community that we actually simply draw the Minister's attention to what's been pointed out to us.
Thank you. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a fairly simple one. The final draft, is there any point in that going to the Chair of the Urban Planning Committee as well? Didn't we have a chair?
Yeah, absolutely. We could...
Did something different? Okay. All right. I think we'll press on, but of course this can be amended. Now, there's just one more point. I'm glad to tell you there is just one more point that's unresolved here, and maybe I should have done it earlier, but it's a bit tricky because it refers to the Marion Plains policy area generally. So I need to ask people to put their hands up if they are in the Marion Plains policy area, or rather if they have an interest in the Marion Plains policy area, because I would ask you all to leave and then hope that I have a quorum. Marion Plains policy area. Yep. Oh, okay. He doesn't think so.
This is the very example we talked about before where you and I live, but you don't foresee that we would have an issue.
That's correct. I'm not in that as policy area, so. All right, Councillor Crossland.
Just a question. If somebody didn't have a material conflict of interest before, but they do live in the Marion Plains, I don't see how they've now got a conflict of interest.
I don't either, but we have a quorum, so let's press on. I draw your attention to the recommended motion number 5, which is reducing the site area for road dwellings in the Marion Plains policy area to 250. I think it's 270 in the draft DPA. Sorry? Mr. Katnar, Mr. Tokley?
The site area for road dwellings?
Yeah, Marion Plains.
It's currently
300. 300. Okay. Something's 270, but I don't know what it is. This is taking on board a DIPTI submission, isn't it? Or where does it come from, Mr. Katnar?
Through his worship. Come from DIPTI's comments around some concerns that Marion Plains policy area isn't delivering on the housing diversity or choice that they perceive that it should. So staff have put forward a suggestion that in the Marion Plains policy area, road dwellings, you could look at reducing the site areas to 250 square metres and the frontage widths to 9 metres, which would effectively make that development exclusively available to corner sites only, where they have a primary and secondary frontage.
Yes, so you see in the Mayor's suggestion it's a limited version of that, and it's based on the DIPTI suggestion. Councillor Blescu?
Dwellings having to have a larger frontage. The issues we're having at the moment with road dwellings is the off-street parking. And if you've got more space on the property for off-street parking, then you can have it. Properties are being built that meet the criteria for development but don't actually meet the criteria for the occupants. You've got places with three bedrooms, they need three cars. I think that's important. Can we make it any bigger? Or
at this point, you can make anything you want. Comment from staff?
Through Reshit. The benefit of increasing the frontage width from 7 metres to 9 metres for road dwellings is you don't have too many properties that are 27 metres wide, except for those that are on corner sites, where you then reorientate the site, if you like. So the benefit that this would achieve is providing additional on-street parking, potentially additional on-site car parking via double garaging. What we found, though, not that we've done any science behind it in terms of yields yet, but you wouldn't have too many 900 square metre sites. So if you reduce that down to 250 per road dwelling, you'd then have a minimum site area of 750 to have your three road dwellings, and it means you allow a lot more corner sites to have road dwellings, but the frontage width of those are going to be well above 9 metres.
So you tend to get, it'll mainly, as I'm advised, it'll mainly only affect corner dwellings, and you might get four instead of three on some of those.
Councillor Westgate? I just wanted to clarify, though, it is a guideline. So if I've got a 25.5 metre property, everything else fits, its chances are we still could get three row dwellings on there. Also, if I have...
that argument applies to everything we're doing tonight,
yeah,
by the way.
So by not moving, by moving the goalposts by 2 metres, you know, we're actually maybe moving it one and a bit in practicality.
Yeah, Councillor, I mean, none of the elected members are really flying the flag for this. It's just that it's a concession, if you like, to the DIPT view, and it's pretty minimal compared to what they wanted. But, you know, you don't have to agree with it either. I've got a few hands up. Councillor Byram, then Councillor
Thank
Crossland.
You. Clarification on that. So that point five, we're talking about reducing the site area requirement for row dwellings in Marion Plains to 250, and you're saying that's coming from 300? Yep. Now, you mentioned something about the width, the frontage, being increased from 7 to 9 metres.
So, if I may, through Your Worship...
What is it currently?
So, for the Marion Plains, the Marion Plains doesn't exist, but the areas that the Marion Plains is generally replacing requires a 7-metre frontage width for row dwellings and a 250-square-metre site area. Under the proposed Marion Plains, it then bumps up to a 9-metre frontage and 300 site area.
This amendment would leave it as a 9-metre frontage, but 250 square metres.
Clarification again.
It's a compromise on a compromise.
So we're saying an increase to 9 metres because it's currently 7.
That's right.
But it's 300 metres.
Marion Plains has the effect on road dwellings of increasing frontage from 7 to 9, and increasing what's it called, site area from 250 to 300. This amendment is saying keep the frontage the same.
9.
I mean, yeah. Gypsy would love to cut it in half. But right. Keep it the same at 9, but okay, at least reduce the building area. The site area, not building area.
The question first would be, at the moment, if we stick with 309, you can still subdivide corner blocks in 2. Am I correct?
Correct.
The whole point of what we tried to do with Marion Plains, we've already got the diversity, and I think 1 into 2 or 1 into 3 on bigger blocks is plenty. This would create possibly 3 more driveways on a corner. I mean, I can't speak for the councillors in that area, but I know when I was on the UPC, they were wholly against those ongoing mini subdivisions, so I would still be not in agreement with point 5.
Mr. Mayor, I tend to agree with Councillor Crossland.
We can possibly put this to bed. Of the people who are here, can I just have a straw poll? Who wants to keep that in? Put your hand up. Yes. Who wants to delete that?
This is deleting the corner block reference.
Okay.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. And that would apply in the Oaklands estate area as well.
When in doubt, take it out. It's applying to the Marion Plains policy area. That's what it says. So we can ask, because that's not going to be part of the recommended motion, we can actually ask in the other members now, and then we will vote. It's going to be a bit confusing. This is messy, but bear with me, people. We have to separate out the groups of councillors so that we have a quorum. Can we have councillors in for the moment?
Just a question. The Oaklands estate area, is that the same, that with the corner block reference in there? Is that...
Mr. Tote?
Through Your Worship, row dwellings are non-complying in the Oaklands estate, so you can only do detached dwellings, so separate houses. And the changes to the Oaklands estate is that the minimum block size is, as of today, is 420, via the DPA goes to 375. The frontage today is 15, it's going to 12. That's the only change. That was resolved earlier tonight in the blue table. In the green tables.
folks, have before you the 1A document, right, that was on your desk tonight, paper copy. You will see, following the discussion we just had, we're leaving out number 5, for those who weren't here. We have to split up 2, 3 and 4 because of the conflict of interest problem, but 1, 6 and 7 everyone can vote on. But it makes sense to do 2, 3 and 4 first, so I know it seems like we're on a bit of a merry-go-round here, but to deal with solely with motion 2, I would now ask the people with a northern interest to step out, north of Oaklands and Dawes Road. So we lose 3 of you, and I ask someone to vote accordingly, to move accordingly if they wish. Councillor Valescu moves. Seconded Councillor Pryor. Any discussion? We've had so much discussion. Councillor Hull. Okay, Councillor, I guess you had an opportunity last Tuesday evening and this evening when we went through the table. No, but you had an opportunity to reflect on the community submissions. Okay, noted. Then, if there's no further discussion, you want to speak to that, Councillor Valescu, Northern Area?
Clarify that 1A includes the amended discussion that we've had. So
that's, yeah.
Because at the moment that says replace the regeneration policy for Plimpton Park, and I believe that's the one we did change the medium density.
That's right. The third box, the white one, should be medium density.
That was Gerard.
Well picked up, Councillor.
I'll have to give the credit to my fellow ward councillor for that one.
Councillor Appleby, your sharp eyes have come in handy tonight.
I would have assumed that it would have been noted in our discussion, and I would have been very disappointed if it...
Can you explain that with microphone on, please?
So in the minutes, it'll show the table that was distributed as Appendix 1A. The actual table is included in the minutes, as you see on the screen.
So you mean the table, as per the discussion we had tonight, is included?
Yes.
Except for that one point that was just picked up by Councillor Appleby. That's been amended, so the entire table will go into the minutes as to reflect the discussion we had tonight. And I can see further down that it does that. So thank you, Ms. Thwaites. That's it. Okay. So I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Would you please now invite in the Northern Area people, councillors?
Yeah.
And once they're back, the centre area people can go.
It's an opportunity to maybe pick up that point that was missed earlier.
Yes, if you have an amendment, you can move the amendment.
Yeah.
Hang on, are you, Councillor Pryor, what are you about to do? Move. Councillor Hull wants to test an amendment to the table. You might move the amended table. Okay, that sounds fraught with risk, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to move the central part, with the amendment that the, now I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, my fellow planning staff, that the residential character policy area in Marion is the one we're talking about as the Oaklands estate. Is that right? It's a bit misleading. That's why we missed it earlier in the DPA. So that says as per DPA, that would except for the Chambers Street part of it. That says that as per DPA, we'd like to say as is currently the policy. So we don't make any change to that policy. It just stays as residential character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it was a change in terms of the frontage width and site areas. That's what
we're I think it's getting a bit hot for me. I'm declaring an interest in the Oaklands estate area, and I'll ask Councillor Crossland, Deputy Mayor, for a few more days to take the chair.
Okay, so I'm advised the table on the screen is now correct. Did you still have a point? Sorry, Nathan, can I just get you to repeat that so that we are all clear what you're asking?
It's not as per the DPA, it's as existing. Is that clear? No change to existing policy, existing character zoning, or existing character policy. Thank you. Can I speak to that as well?
While they're typing that, yeah, if you could just explain that. Is that right, correct? So that's the changes that we proposed to the Oaklands estate?
Yeah. 15 blocks in the whole of Marion Council, and it makes a number of unhappy people. There's just no logical sense to making that change. There may be from a planning policy point of view, but from a feedback point of view, I don't think there's any sense in it, and I'm happy to put this forward.
Okay, so is that seconded by Councillor Hall? Would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, very quickly. I'm happy to second it. This makes me feel more comfortable about the appropriate desire of the community there. Councillor Pryor is correct that it would make a lot of people unhappy, but for me, Mr. Acting Mayor, those 15 development sites would equate to a significant number of tree loss, and that's what that area is all about. That's why it is a character zone. It's not because of the housing stock or any of the people that live there, it's because of the trees. The significant old red gum trees that exist in that area. So I believe in that character zone for that reason, and I believe that we should not degrade that area any more than we have to. And if the Minister has a different view on that, well, so be it, but I won't be putting my name to any change.
Thank you. So, members, that's the changes on the board to the proposed. Does anyone want to speak against those proposed changes, or anyone speaking against the motion as currently proposed by Councillor Pryor? Okay. Councillor Pryor, do you want to say a few words before we close, bearing in mind nobody actually spoke against the motion? Thank you. So all those in favour? To Mayor Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. That was on the basis of a perceived conflict of interest, by the way. Now, we deal with the southern area. So we've got southern people leaving. And after someone to move and second. Moved Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Pryor. Further discussion? Councillor Hull. Well, it's a balancing act, and we've listened to the community as best we can. It's just very difficult when you've got a lot of different responses in a small area. Wish for, I think, is what you're after.
Experience in the northern part of the city. What would happen down there if they did bring about that change, particularly with the narrow roads that have been built by developers that often are one way in, one way out. And, you know, I think this is the best outcome.
Point taken. Put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. I ask remaining members to come back in. So what we're doing now, folks, is the recommended motions are numbers 1, 6 and 7. We note the situation. We resolve not to undertake further consultation. You know what? We could actually add to that based on legal advice. Members are happy. And then... basically, you're delegating to, after staff have done their little mountain of hard work yet to come, for the Chief Executive and Mayor to submit. Look, the due date needs to be taken off. Shall we be kind and put December 2017 there? Down the bottom of the page there. It's got 27th of November. That's a bit unrealistic. Yes. Still got 2 hours to midnight. Stretch target. December 2017. So I'm looking for someone to move. Councillor Pryor is to move. Councillor Byram to second. Can I Well, if with leave of the meeting, let's note something in the minutes about that once Ms. Thwaites is in a position to note, to so note, that can I just suggest some wording for you, Councillor Hull, that Council wishes to urge the Minister to consider the submissions in relation to future infrastructure needs, utility and infrastructure needs, if housing density is to increase in the City of Marion. Well, it's actually there as part of the motion. Are the mover and seconder happy to incorporate that with leave of the meeting? Add that line? Councillor Price happy? Councillor Byram? Yep. So leave is granted. So that becomes part of the motion. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to comment? I know you've done a lot of hard work on this. Yeah, so we've got Pryor and Byram. Councillor Pryor hasn't actually spoken to it. You've got 3 minutes of glory.
That's true.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, I mean, the first thing I really want to do is outline that this has been a bit of a love-hate relationship for me at the moment. It's 2+ years of work that I've had the pleasure of being involved in, and the staff have been really accommodating. I know we had some real differences of opinion across the process, and I'm encouraged by their professionalism in the process, and I think we've actually got to a really quite a reasonable result for all parties concerned. Going out to public consultation, look, I think we've done quite a good job of listening to the people who wanted to give us feedback, and it looks to me like we've made some pretty good amendments for those people who gave submissions, and I think that'd be a lesson to anyone in the future who wants to provide submissions to the Marion Council, knowing that they will get looked at and where possible they'll get acted on. There's one really important point about this document, and regardless of where it goes from the Minister's desk, it's important that we've put our perspective on the table. We've put our community's perspective about Marion on the table in the Minister's office. Okay, now if this DPA goes no further than that, then I still consider that a win for our council. Because in the future, when the Minister wants to do his rezoning, he has on his table the Marion Council's perspective on what we think should happen. Now that's considered perspective across across Diptai, across the residents, across the council plans and across the councillors. I think that's a really powerful tool, and it shouldn't be understated as we go forwards. So with that, I'd like everyone to support this motion. I really think it's a really solid body of work.
Councillor Hull. Oh, sorry, Councillor Byram, seconding.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I'd like to second that, what Councillor Pryor said, but also I want to publicly thank everyone that's been on that Urban Planning Committee and for the work they've done, plus the staff with all the work that has been put in over this time. It has been a mammoth task. But I think for all of us, it has been a great learning curve and a exercise of our council area. And really, that's something that I think we can all be proud of, and in moving forward, that this has been a great activity for us all.
Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not speaking for or against it. I just want to, in particular, acknowledge Councillor Pryor's contribution to this. Councillor Pryor has applied his scientific acumen to this and his energy, and he deserves to be congratulated. And he has stepped up to the plate in a number of areas to make sure that our best interests are carried forward. And I just think that he needs to be acknowledged for that contribution. We've had a lot of chair people in this council over many years, and Councillor Pryor's a standout.
That's good.
I think we need to acknowledge the community's expectation on development, and you know, whilst I'll be supporting this, and good on everyone for the work that they've done, it's greatly appreciated. This is all we're able to do, but it's not what the community expects. The community doesn't want the rate of a subdivision. They want someone to rein in what they feel is inappropriate development. The community perception is that council is ignoring them, that the government is ignoring them on these issues, and they do feel powerless. I think we need to be aware. We can sit here and you know, congratulate ourselves, and we have achieved something, but we've probably only moved two feet where the community wants us to move, you know, 30 yards. And I think we need to tell our community that this is the only area we could move on. So, you know, let's sit back, because I think people will be happy about some bits, but our community does want and expect change, and I think that needs to happen, probably at other levels. So, you know, let's not get too carried away. You know, we're improving, but, you know, don't be surprised if a lot of people think that, you know, this isn't improved enough. And I don't mean to be negative, but I'm just trying to put a bit of pragmatism as to what our community expects from development.
Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I would, as a member of the Urban Planning Committee, like to thank the staff, particularly management and staff, for an absolutely amazing effort. And it's not been streamlined, we know. And I'd also like to thank my fellow EMs that have contributed. It's been exemplary, not something that we saw coming when we came onto this council. There wasn't a breath of suggestion about it, not to my knowledge anyway. I want to make a more general comment, and that is that I think we all have sadnesses about how character must change in certain places that we love. I first started living in the city of Marion in 1953, and I remember every minute of it back in those days. Horses in the paddocks over the road, a dairy down the next corner on Diagonal Road, Hardy Street, Hardy Avenue corner, and everything that goes with it, the chooks, it was semi-rural just about. And that's where we've come from, but we're now one of the world's roaring metropolises, and we're a metropolis in the world that people are looking to for quality. It's always irked me that we have been pushing our young folk further north and south merrily, and breaking up those magnificent broadacres, and so that had to come to a stop. And therefore something else had to give. And what we've done in recent weeks has been to facilitate that something else, which is very, very important to the whole. And it's very, very important to all the social levels of our society, not just the physical, but the community level in general. And so what I'm hoping for out of this, and I know we've gone into the intricacies and we've looked at every nook and cranny, and we probably haven't got it perfectly right, but we've got it probably at least 85% right or more. I think what we have to look towards next is how we now increase the quality of life of all the people in our city. So I have my time now, but that's the last thing I wanted to say with great deal of emphasis, that it's not all about bricks and mortars, it is about the people and how we better manage them over the next 5-10 years.
Thank you. Councillor Chopper.
We've responded to the State Government 30-year plan, and over the last 2 years we've worked at this but we as elected members represent our community, and our community talk lots about parking and streetscapes and density. And we had this strange comment from the state government, from Diptai, about the fact that in addressing the widths and the block sizes, we were not necessarily addressing these things. But we are attempting to, in the way that we've moved these motions tonight, and hopefully we can find some other ways to, again, deal with the parking and the streetscape issues.
Look, because this is one of the truly epic motions of this entire council term, I've indulged a few of the speakers, and I'll indulge myself in a few very quick comments. I would also like to thank staff for their huge amount of work on this. I'm sure 3 years ago they never expected they'd be working so hard on a residential DPA, and I thank them for the hard work that's yet to come, and very urgently to get this finalised. Secondly, I would also like to thank Councillor Pryor, who's put countless hours and his passion into this. I'd also like to acknowledge something that's been raised in the debate, that the fact is this is a game where the Minister holds all the aces. And really we didn't appreciate until quite recently that whatever we put up is now subject to a political process way above us on Mount Olympus. We could get anything back from that process. We don't know. But certainly our intent has been to save the suburbs in some respects and allow more dense development in other areas where residents, we think, don't mind too much. That's the trade-off. One final comment, that we haven't embarked on a massive redesign of our policies. In other words, to get better design from our housing. It's a massive entire project in itself. One of the reasons that perhaps it is a bit fruitless is the state government's going to be bringing in a planning and design code probably in a year or two anyway, which would swamp anything that we do. So really, we can't do much other than the fact that our urban planning committee next year might want to give some thought to appropriate submissions about housing design to actually assist the state government come up with a decent result. Over to you, Councillor Pryor, to close the debate, if need be.
Look, I mean, it's a very quick close. I think Councillor Valeska hit a very important point. This is a balance. Okay, it's a balance between what our community wants and what the Minister wants and what we, the elected body, wants, and perhaps what some of our planners want as well. So, This is our best shot at this. It's not going to keep everyone happy. It's our best shot at it, though.
All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So that ends the meeting. So for those of you who are members of the public, I hope you found it fascinating. This is sort of what we do normally every Tuesday night, but this week we've done it Monday as well as Tuesday night. So I think you're getting good value out of us. But anyway, take the message back to your community, and we hope that they like at least some of what we've done. And we wait to see what the Minister has to say. That concludes the Special General Council meeting. I invite elected members to stay on now for an informal gathering.